Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Welcome, gentlemen. We are now going to talk about a really, really significant part of life. This is kind of, it's a place where shame exists so deeply in the lives of men. I'm going to be talking about porn, but today I'm going to be using the word porn. But as you listen to what I have to say, I want you to see that I'm referring to pretty much anything where our sexuality goes awry. It'd be like affairs, flirting, massage parlors, prostitutes, sexual content like videos or pictures. Pretty much all of that is going to be under the discussion under the word porn. So this is going to be kind of a long one. I'm just throwing out a whole bunch of concepts, but hopefully this will really be helpful for you guys. Anybody that wrestles with this or has any kind of problem or just feels shame about our sexuality. So what I was going to first talk about when I first learned about my sexuality or being aroused, that it was like a naked woman looked like a goddess. What was going on when I discovered that rubbing myself in a certain way when I was a kid created some kind of ecstatic explosion of nerve bundles. I had no idea at that time what that was, what an orgasm was. It was crazy to me, and nobody was there really to tell me about it. And I think we all have gone on this journey in our lives to find out what sex is. And oftentimes we were told so many wrong things, or our sexuality was just ignored or swept under the rug, or it was mentioned but in a hushed tone, as if something really bad, that this is what people did in the dark. So most of us, like myself, had no idea about what was going on. We were discovering this all on our own, pretty much isolated and silenced by shame. And if you did know anything about sexuality, you probably had been introduced way too early, possibly through some kind of abuse or some kind of trauma by someone that you hoped that you could trust or that you needed to be able to trust. But still, shame usually ruled the scene, and we all figured out how we best could do this in secret. So what is porn? They all say you know it when you see it. And so porn is designed to capture your attention. And that's how you really know what it is. It's something that gets your attention. And for some reason, for some of us, it seems impossible to look away. And porn has been specifically engineered to do just that. To retrieve your attention and get your attention. And that's how media, social media, or any other kind of media makes their money. Your attention is the commodity. You literally pay attention when you give anything your focus. The ads that you see when you watch TV is just how money is made. And the porn industry is no different. And that industry makes billions of dollars off of ordinary men who get caught up in this web, and their attention gets caught. So as the commodity, your attention needs to be your most precious gift that you can give. Your attention and focus is very limited. You only have so much. The question is, where is the wisest place to put my focus? Is it video games, my kids, my wife, my work, Netflix, Twitter, sports, exercise? There's a million options of where to put your attention. And the porn industry is fighting to get your attention bad. So how have they engineered porn to suck you in? They actually have the code, and they've marketed it perfectly. Because they're going to make money off of you. You are making them rich. because you are willing to give them your attention. So like many things, porn is on a spectrum. It's from the soft, like swimsuit stuff or lingerie or what you could be called titillating or slightly arousing, to the other side of the spectrum with the hardcore stuff. This really dark stuff that opens you up to things that you wish you never saw, or stuff that you couldn't or wouldn't ever imagine if you didn't see it on the web. Many of us got our start from the softer side of things, from the Sears catalog, that's back in my day, or the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. Or if you're younger, it might have been just from some clickbait title, you know, something like What the Wedding Photographer Saw, or The Gym Pics That Reveal Too Much, you know, things that get your attention on the sidebar. And you click it and you see something that's a little bit revealing or titillating, like I said. And from there, you know where the rabbit hole goes. And for some of us, porn became a drug of choice and became an imaginary friend who was along for the ride as you begin to learn about life and what it was all about. So it began with very soft core intrigue and eventually may have gone into some hardcore, sometimes some deeper, dark stuff, like I said. So I don't even want to say that the dark stuff is even there, or explain how evil some of it really goes. We'll just leave it on the spectrum of the pornography world, how it goes dark, very dark, and very evil. We'll talk a little bit more about how that escalates. And the escalation is actually where the real money is made. So I'm just going to give a couple concepts I'm going to throw out there in this whole thing. First one is the idea of smoking the validation crack pipe. This is an expression, I think it's kind of funny, but it's very accurate. It's the expression that hits the center of the porn discussion. Essentially, validation is your crack. It's your drug. It's at the center of all this fine mess. To me, the struggle with porn is not really about sex, or what's commonly called sex addiction. It is all about validation. You need someone to tell you that you are okay. Somebody wants you, and they tell you that you're good enough. Who better to validate you than a beautiful, naked woman? One who wants you, or is willing to do anything for you. We'll talk a little bit more about smoking the validation crack pipe later. Next thing is the idea of the equation. So here's the equation. It's me plus blank equals I'm somebody, or I'm acceptable, or I'm worthy. So it's me plus something in the blank equals acceptability. And so in that blank is usually something like the Holy Grail. We need to find the Holy Grail to fill in the blank. So me plus the Holy Grail equals I'm okay. So the Holy Grail usually is some external validator of some sort. Or it might be a certain kind of woman or a kind of behavior that fits with your story. You could spend your entire life looking for that thing. It could be any counterfeit or any idol or addiction. So what is in your blank? Me plus that thing equals I'm good enough. So that thing, like I said, could be any one of the counterfeits, any addiction, alcohol, drugs, women, money, security, could be anything. But in this case, we're talking about me plus validation from a beautiful naked woman equals I'm acceptable. The next category is called the pull. This is what it feels like as something draws us in or pulls us in. It could be the minding your own business. You're minding your own business, trying to get a project done, when all of a sudden you feel the pull. It's that feeling that you have, that you want something. And now it's on your radar, and you're starting to think about it. It's pulling at you, trying to get your attention. This is the pull. Sometimes it's like one of those ropes from fifth grade gym class. Just huge and unstoppable. It just sucks you right in. Or sometimes the pull is more like dental floss. It's not very strong and you can say no. So regardless, it's important to know what the pull is, what it feels like, and the level of its strength at any given moment. That's the pull. Next category is called sequencing. So sequencing has a strong correlation with the pull. Sequencing is a practice which helps you identify what's been going on in the previous moments or days before you have a strong pull, or when you actually act out. It could be looking back to the last 3 days or the last 3 hours. 3 days ago, you had a tough conversation with your boss about your performance at work. The following day, since you were kind of quiet as you were thinking about your work, your wife criticized you for being mopey or grumpy. Why are you so grumpy? Then yesterday, you found out that a good friend was getting a divorce. And so today, you feel the pull, and it's strong because sequencing tells you that three big things happened in the last 3 days. So everything in you wants to look at porn and masturbate. Or you're thinking about the massage place on York Street. Sequencing is a way to catch it before you go down the road. When the pull is strong, you can stop and sequence back a little bit to see what the heck's going on inside your own heart. What is it that's going on that you want to escape or numb? So these are really, really important concepts, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, but those are really important. So there's a category or a question. What is wrong with porn? So here's a few things. So the first thing that I got on here, like I said, this is just a collection of a whole bunch of stuff. Hopefully it'll help. Objectification. So objectification is seeing another human as an object. The other person is an object to satisfy your needs, wants, or fantasies. They become an object, not a person. This you might have heard this, is the idea that the woman in the video is somebody's daughter. That's actually a really good start to personifying her. She is a daughter. It's meant to tug at the heartstrings if you are a father. You would feel horrible that this was your daughter. Like I said, it's a good start, but it's referenced around her dad. Where it really becomes personification is to shorten that statement from she's somebody's daughter to she is somebody. She's a person, not an object. And if you're using her to resolve your own inner conflicts, you are using her. That is objectification, and something is really, really warped about that. So that's objectification, not okay. Next is lust. Now, lust is an overwhelming sense of sexual desire. You want something so deeply. Now, lust is similar to envy, wanting something you cannot have. Someone said lust is desire gone awry. Desire is good and even holy. Wanting or desiring is not the problem. Needing to consume or demand to be fulfilled, that is the problem. That's lust, the demand to be fulfilled. I must have this. Now here's the profound truth, and kind of an unpopular opinion. Our desires are not always meant to be fulfilled. Let me say it again. Our desires are not always meant to be fulfilled. This is an important statement if you're really going to break free. So I think desires are more often than not meant just to be experienced. There's something significant about wanting or not having that is a very valuable thing for our character or psychological formation. It's the delayed gratification thing. Desires are a form of the void in that it is experienced. It's an experience of emptiness or not having something. So for example, you're married and you meet a very pretty woman at work. She's pleasant and engaging. You begin working together on a project. You're a great team and things get done. All the while, you're enjoying each other's company. Just you guys click. Something is very easy with being with her. You imagine, what would it be like to be married to such an agreeable, beautiful woman? Your imaginative mind goes to pleasant conversations, walks at sunset, passionate lovemaking, and a peaceful life, as she cares for your well-being and serves you very, very well. But then, boom, you wake up. It's only a fantasy. Reality is, I'm stuck with a rough life at home. My woman is not so easy. We have a ton to work through that we've been working through. That's my reality. I've chosen my wife, and this is my life. My desire for this other woman is just that, a desire or a want. Why would I not want a peaceful life and a woman who serves well? Those are great desires. But how you fulfill those desires, that's where wisdom comes in. What is wise? What is right? What is the value of my commitment or my vow to my wife? And what do I really want? I may desire this other woman, but what do I really want? And you realize that wisdom would move you to feeling the desire, but not acting on it. Wisdom allows you the understanding that it's just a fantasy. Relationships are good work with really positive rewards to that good, difficult work. Relationships, real relationships, are tough, but will bring incredible fulfillment in many different ways as you work through things. So demanding or needing fulfillment is lust. You want something, it aches in your groin. Fantasies take over your ruminating and very imaginative mind. But since you've been through the void and seen where this path takes you, you find your wisdom, the truth about where you really want to go, and you take that path. I will pursue my wife, even though we're in a very rough patch. In the fantasy, the pretty coworker has ceased to be a person. They become an idea, a fantasy, an object. They're an idea that will fulfill my deepest desires. It's all in your imagination. So this is where they become an object. I objectify them as I would a brand new BMW or a really cool four-wheel drive truck that I might get. That thing will bring me joy, and I feel good now that I have that thing. Remember, that's the me plus something equals a whole person equation. Me plus my new truck. Me plus a pretty and agreeable woman equals validation. Or me plus a peaceful, easy life. Lust is fulfilling my own internal conflicts through another person, who is not a person anymore, just an object for my pleasure and validation. Lust is using anything as a counterfeit or idol to fulfill the empty places in my soul. But wisdom says it's okay to have empty places in your soul, because every desire is not meant to be fulfilled. Now listen to that. Every desire is not meant to be fulfilled. I'll say it again. Every desire is not meant to be fulfilled. So the path to overcoming lust is not things like bouncing your eyes away from beautiful women, or saying to yourself, don't look, don't look, don't look, or snapping a rubber band on your wrist. Trust me, these are real methods that have taught, they're taught all the time for men to stop from lusting. It's all, yeah, trust me, I've seen these, I've practiced these, these kind of things are out there. But these are just behavioral methods that don't address the deeper issue. It's all behavioral. So the path to victory is recognizing your desires, not shaming yourself from them or snapping your wrist with a rubber band. It's embracing the emptiness of not having the fulfillment of those desires. That's how you really wrestle with lust. Something in me wants or desires to have sex with multiple women. I desire the variety for some reason. This is just you recognizing I have this desire. Or maybe I might have a same-sex attraction or something else like that. Just because it's there doesn't mean something's wrong with you or that you must fulfill what you desire. So the wisest path is to be okay with the emptiness or not getting that thing that you desire. That's what wisdom is, and that's what maturity is. So, embracing the emptiness of not having something is the path to victory and breaking free from addictions. Feel the desire, but don't force fulfillment. Embrace the emptiness of not having that thing. This is the way to freedom. It's a really big thing that I'm saying here. Embracing the emptiness of not having something is the path to victory for breaking free from addictions. So, is porn or lust literally cheating? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches in Matthew 5:27, "You have heard that it said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, this passage is meant to be a lesson that there is no sin that does not have consequences of hell or eternal separation from God, or is not under the judgment of the law. Jesus is saying that sin is sin, and sin, no matter the size of it, has eternal consequences. Therefore, because it's sin, lust, or thinking about adultery, is the same as adultery. Or, with another verse right there, he says, calling your brother stupid is the same as murder. We know the sticks and stones saying, of course, calling your brother names is not the same as murder, just as much as lust is not the same of actually having adultery. But what he is saying is it has the same consequence as sin under the law. Sin is sin. So is lust the same as adultery? No, just like name calling is not the same as murder. But they do have the same consequence that could place you under judgment for eternity. That is true. So lust is sin, name calling is sin, adultery is sin, murder is sin. Sin is missing the mark. You don't want to be doing any of these things. They're all sin, but they're not all the same. Here's what happens. A self-righteous wife will accuse her husband of adultery because he's been looking at a woman. Trust me, this happens all the time. She's missing the entire meaning of the passages and the intent Jesus has here, that no one is without sin and the consequence thereof. I think the wife in this illustration makes the point quite well. Her judgmentalism is sin. And it's the whole let he who is without sin cast the first stone thing. So dealing with this type of woman needs to be a completely different conversation, but it's really tough when it's equated as if you look at porn and lust over somebody, you've committed adultery against me. So essentially I'm saying that lust is not adultery. So how do we move forward? So one concept that seemed to be important is having a goal that 100% of my sexual energy would go only to my chosen one. That's a really good effort to shoot for, because so often you think about your sexual energy, it's diverted to lust or to fantasy. But when our energy or attention are diverted, it may not be adultery, but for sure, trust diminishes. There are a number of different consequences. And with our sexual energy or the purpose or moving toward our wife is a really big part of this. So like I said earlier, it's not okay to use someone else to fulfill me or resolve my inner conflicts. I need to resolve my own inner conflicts within myself. I do have another podcast on this, so check that out if you want more on that, resolving your inner conflicts. But another issue on this is that porn is just really easy. So actual real women require you to grow, and they will stretch you to become the man that you've been designed to be. You will be called to be a man, to be mature, to communicate clearly, to have frame, to hold your values, to be passionate, and ultimately also to be vulnerable and open. So real women take work and effort. The porn princess, however, takes no effort since she's there at your beck and call. She wants you whenever you want her there. That's an important thing to think about. Also, porn is not victimless. Porn is very much linked to sex trafficking. I actually don't know enough about this, so I won't say much. I just know that the porn industry is dark and evil in so many ways. By engaging with porn, you keep the machine of sex traffic and modern-day slavery running at full speed. So really think about that. Maybe do some of your own research. Also, porn is full of unrealistic expectations. It's all fantasy. It's all imagination, and it's all fake. It's not how sex really is. It's not how women really are. It's not how life is. It's unrealistic and phony and fake as anything can be. It has been designed to capture your attention and never let it go. It's a huge industry and makes billions of dollars by enslaving men like you and me through one weakness that most of us have, our weak, externally referenced identity. So porn or lust is not the same as adultery, but it's still not okay. Let me say a few words about the addiction cycle. So remember, I don't actually refer to porn and all the things I referred to earlier as sex addiction. I really think that's inaccurate. Whereas it's definitely expressed or experienced through our sexuality, the roots of why we do this is more about our identity or sense of self-worth. So I would rather call it validation addiction. It's an addiction nonetheless, but the core is your sense of self. It's about your sense of value or worthiness. So here's some indicators in the whole idea of addiction. These are categories that kind of show up, which you know it's on the level of addiction if these are going on. First one is a category called compulsivity. So compulsivity is when I can't stop or stop thinking about something, increasing, and it increases the risk in order to get the fix. So I'm obsessing about the next time that I'm able to do this whenever I'm not doing it. So impulsive or compulsive behavior is addiction, and addiction, remember, is desire gone awry. It's our deep desires that are being played out without wisdom, without integrity, or the ability to be empty or going without something. Addiction wants to fill the void with consumerism, possessing something, controlling something, using others or substances in addictive absorption to relieve whatever pain or emptiness inside of us with fearful or anxious self-protection. The introduction of high-speed internet has made things so accessible. You can spend an hour, just an hour, think about this, is ridiculous to think about. With high-speed internet, you can spend an hour surfing the web and see 10 times as much porn as your grandfather may have seen in his lifetime. Think about it. If he actually had a subscription to Playboy, you know, there's probably 30 pictures in a Playboy once a month. And so you figure that out. So you figure, okay, his lifetime, blah, 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 30 times 12 times maybe 30 years, right? And it's thousands of pictures, but in an hour surfing the web, you can see more than that. It's crazy what high-speed internet moves us to. So we are exposed to so much porn, and it's been designed to suck us into its vortex. And that's what it does. It just pulls us right in. So the introduction of videos is another huge change. So personally, I'm old school. When I refer to porn, I always call it looking at porn, because that's what I was introduced to, pictures and centerfolds. Now, since about the turn of the century, videos became wildly accessible. Now, everybody refers to it as watching porn rather than looking at porn, which I think is really, really significant. But the categories are pretty much the same. So videos are another way the addiction cycle has erupted within us with compulsivity and impulsivity. It's there whenever we want it. It's there in any platform that we have. All social media, whether it's Twitter or even Pinterest or any gaming platform, there, ready and waiting. If it's connected to the internet, you can find porn on it. This blew me away when I first learned about this, how any social media, every social media has a corner of porn, especially Pinterest, because Pinterest was just, hey, this is a bunch of ladies trying to figure out, you know, what, how to do my decorating or something like that. And it's crazy when I found out that it's a platform. Everything's a platform for porn. It's insane. It's everywhere. So the other category is function. So functioning is how I'm doing with my life. Am I getting things done? Problem is that you know that it's addiction when you begin to neglect your roles and responsibilities. Your home, your work, your marriage, fathering, your community all take a hit. So continuing, even though you know it's a risk and you could lose your important or valuable parts of life, you keep going. That's the other part of this. But still, you might lose your license because of drunk driving. You might lose your marriage because of affairs. You might lose your job. Trust me, this happens a lot because you're watching porn at work. Also, another consequence of function is erectile dysfunction and other physical manifestations that may happen. This happens even for young guys in their 30s. So we will neglect our own self-care, sleep, exercise, nutrition, our appearance, and experience a huge loss of functionality or capability because we are caught up in the mess. We also might lose our moral compass. We'll start to move in secrecy, start lying, and be in isolation. We might distract our attention and loss of focus or priority. We will sometimes move to stealing or other insidious crimes and lose many things in our lives. We lose our function, our house, our home, our work, our marriage. You know, it's crazy what guys have lost because of their addiction. Next category is called escalation, and this is that in order to attain arousal, I need more. I need more variety, or I need to go deeper down the rabbit hole. There's a very dark place, and only gets darker and darker into the areas of depravity and degeneracy that you never would have imagined existing, or you never would have imagined going there. But this is escalation when you start to move into those places. So consider the progression of exposure and desensitization, where rape and abuse of children eventually becomes somehow okay. You have been groomed. We all have been groomed, and we've been being groomed for decades. I remember the days when it was rare to see anything provocative in scenes in movies. Now, sex and violence are the norm, and we don't even bat an eye. We see things that would have appalled us before, and now we think we shouldn't be such a prude. And, unfortunately, kids are exposed to this regularly as well. So not only are a billion children being groomed to be okay with what they see on the internet, you've also been in the process of being groomed your entire life. Consider the progression of what's been deemed as acceptable on TV or movies during your lifetime. Has what you watched with violence, nudity, or public displays of lewdness increased or decreased? We know the answer. Also, think about the use of the word teen. The vast majority of teens are underage. And this is what the sex slave market looks like. Can minors consent to this behavior? How is this being used? How is it that using another person, especially someone too young to consent, has become okay? We have been groomed. Ultimately, we've been groomed not to speak, not to say no. So what is next? I actually think pedophilia or bestiality, other dark, evil expressions of sexuality, will become fairly normal. We're actually starting to see this. And so this is what porn does. It escalates, and then we want more or darker expressions of sex. This is escalation. It's just not okay. And I really do want you to think about it. Will you allow yourself to become groomed any further? Start thinking about it. Don't let yourself be groomed. So next category is withdrawal. So addictions usually have withdrawal symptoms if we go without the substance. You get the shakes, headaches, nervousness, obsession with the next fix. If these exist when you try to go without something, that's a huge indicator that extreme measures are warranted. You are addicted. So get some help. Talk to someone. Don't isolate or withdraw. So addictive cycles with your sexuality lead to some very difficult circumstances. And a lot of times you feel what it is. The next category is the whole idea that porn is destructive. Porn sucks the life and the thumos out of your soul. It drains your strength and makes you weak. Thumos is one of my favorite masculine words. It means that you have a life force, vigor, and vitality. Porn kills that quickly. It takes your thumos right out of your heart. So this looks like entitlement. Oftentimes it is, I deserve to experience my desires fulfilled. Are my desires meant to be fulfilled or just to be? I already talked about that. But entitlement says, I deserve this, damn it. So you become an entitled little shit fairly quickly with entitlement. I demand to be fulfilled. And it is the demand of the possession of another person. It demands that the other person does what I say, what I want. You are my slave, and I'm entitled to you. This does sound really warped. I'm sure you think I'm going to the extreme. This is not so extreme. Guys get entitled. But this is where porn ends up, and you will begin to demand that what porn provides to you, that is a woman who is at your beck and call to do whatever you want, whenever you want, into expectations of your real relationships, where you demand this, which in turn ends in frustration and annoyance that they're not like the girl on the porn site. In this, porn can wreck relationships by wrecking expectations. So often this turns into vindictiveness. And oftentimes, if you have not provided for me, therefore I will make you pay. Could be against your wife or even God. You want to punish the other person or make them pay for not doing what you want or what you say you want. If you feel pulled into porn, consider about how much of it is actually vindictive to try to punish somebody. So porn is also, it increases the potential for erectile dysfunction. Porn literally creates a limp dick and a limp life. And it also increases your real life experience dysfunction. Like I said, a limp life with no thumos or passion. It's gonna kill your soul. Next category is spiritual warfare. Porn will take you out of the game. It will silence you, isolate you, and destroy your ministry. Whether that's at home, in church, or at a nonprofit, at work, wherever. There's a lot I can say about spiritual warfare, but I just want you to know our sexuality and our identity is literally in the front lines of this spiritual warfare battle. Once you're aware of this, you can engage in the battle for your soul by pursuing wisdom in how you roll with your sexuality and your self-image. So porn will destroy your life eventually, and it will take you, your heart, your soul, out of the game. Next, porn is a lie. It's fake. It all started with the centerfold, a beautiful, perfect, naked woman looking directly at you. And with that look, it communicates very clearly, I want you, I like you, I accept you. The eyes say it all. I want you. Now, it's that, plus videos and every other dark thing imaginable. Porn is a decoy. It's a deceptive trick to get you sucked in. You think it's real, but it's just pixels. If you wake up midstream, you're alone in the room, midstream of surfing the net or masturbating or whatever, while you're looking at the web. You know how you're asleep, you're kind of oblivious to everything? If you wake up in the middle of that, you're there alone in the room looking at a fake picture with your dick in your hand. That's what's real, not the woman on the screen, not the experience. That's all imagination. What is real is a man, isolated, dick in hand, desperate to resolve his inner identity conflicts. What you see, and what it seems to provide for you, is fake. The other thing it is a hormonal rush. Dopamine is released during a porn session, just like any other drug of choice. You feel the rush of something pleasurable for a moment. This physical aspect is real, but porn is fake. So porn is a counterfeit, a phony replication of the real thing. Porn is a lie about your identity. Porn is shame-based, and it thrives on your shame. That is, your sense of feeling less than, or inadequate, or broken. Shame is replicated over and over and over in a spiral every time you experience the porn process. You feel great surfing the web or flirting with a coworker, but as soon as you ejaculate, and it's weird, as soon as you ejaculate, it's right at that moment, shame washes over you again and again. Sexualization of my identity happens as well. This is because we are so connected for the need for validation of our identity with the woman that sex seems to be central to our entire life. It absorbs us and our attention. Because it is central to our entire life, because our identity is central to our life, but sex is not. Sex is a good, beautiful thing, but all of a sudden sex becomes central because my identity, because it's all intertwined. And because external validation is so central to the pull of porn, we develop a reflected sense of self where our self-worth or our value is dependent on the woman. So we seek the woman in any form to fulfill our desire to feel complete, which is also a dead end. So your identity is absolutely connected to your interaction with women with porn. So another way that porn is a lie is the way they talk about the arousal cycle. They don't talk about it, they just show it. And you're like, so here's the thing. Your wife does want sex, just not like the porn star. And not with a weak, non-initiating man. Porn lies about how and why women want sex. The arousal cycle is totally different for most men and women. For men, it's desire, arousal, climax. Desire is the horniness piece that comes first. Then there's arousal, that's the hard-on. Then eventually climax, or the orgasm. And so it's a three-part cycle. Desire, arousal, climax. For women, it's totally different. It's arousal, desire, climax. Where men was desire, arousal, climax. For women, it's arousal, desire, climax. Arousal is actually first for women. She needs to be taken to the place of feeling aroused. Then, once she's aroused, she feels the desire. Hey, I like this and I really want it now. And then eventually to orgasm. So women don't feel the horniness at first. Well, every once in a while, yes, but not normally. It's totally different. And this is where porn goes wrong. Because the woman porn star has an arousal cycle like a man. First, she is horny. She's horny like a man. That's the desire part. So our fantasy is being with a woman with that kind of arousal cycle who wants to jump our bones anywhere, anytime. So you imagine and you fantasize noticing a pretty woman in the grocery store. She looks at you and nods to the storeroom in the back. You meet up in the back where she rips your pants open, and you know the rest. But it's all a fantasy. It's as make-believe as Star Wars or Winnie the Pooh. Did I just say Star Wars was fake? Yes, as fake as porn. So the lie is that if she doesn't want to jump your bones or orgasm through penetration, then you have failed. You are not good enough. You're not as much of a man. If I cannot recreate that kind of response from a real man should get from a woman. That's what porn teaches. But like I said, women do want sex. It's just not like porn teaches you. From porn, we learn that a woman is either hot and horny or cold and frigid. So in real life, women want to feel connected, wanted, beautiful, and desired. Sex provides that. If you attend to your woman as a real woman. But if you think of her as an object and that she wants to have sex like a man, you will miss it. Women want sex for the opposite reason that porn says they want sex. In porn, like I said, every woman is perfect and horny. And it so happens that every guy has a 10-inch dick that works perfectly, never letting him down, always creating her orgasm just by thrusting. Everything about that is just not real. Now I want to talk about something that no one talks about, the whole size matters thing. So porn always has a guy with a huge dick. Now these guys are at the very top 1% of the top 1% of penis size on the planet. You know, the bell curve, the average and vast majority of men have average penises. 90% of guys have penises roughly from 5 to 6 inches in length. It's a very small group of guys are smaller, and a very small group of guys are larger. Most guys are like Michelangelo's David, a very nice average package. If you've ever seen Michelangelo's David, you go, that's interesting that he has a small penis. I would think that a guy like David, who is a massive warrior, would have a giant penis. No, he's just got an average penis. He's just okay, right? That's a really cool thing. And so here's what people don't talk about. So with a large penis, it's very uncomfortable for women to have sex. Let me explain. So if a number of you have probably had a child and gone through the process of birth with your wife, you remember how many times the doctor came through and tested to see how effaced her cervix was, to see if she's ready to push. It's crazy. When I just remember they would have interns and nurses and doctors, and everybody seemed like they needed to check the cervix. Everybody needed to test this thing. It's crazy how many times they did that. And the way that they do it is just to stick their finger in with a little bit of push to feel the end of the cervix. Now, listen to this. This is the way that every single doctor checks the cervix. And so most people's fingers are not that long. I remember one gal, she was one of the interns, and she was probably 5 foot, kind of a little bit chunky, and her hands were chunky, and fingers really short. She had to really push to be able to feel my wife's cervix. It was really uncomfortable for her. But the category that I'm saying is people's fingers are not that long. They're not 5 or 6. My fingers, I'm a really tall guy, and my fingers 4, maybe 5 inches long. That's it. And a doctor can reach in and be able to touch the cervix. The cervix would be the end of the vagina, right? And so the whole category is this is how they check the effacing cervix with a regular finger. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the vagina is not that deep. If the doctor can feel the cervix with a 5-inch finger, then what would happen if you put in a 10-inch penis? Obviously, it would totally smack up against the cervix and cause discomfort. So guys with longer penises must be very gentle and not thrust too deeply in order to keep from hurting their partner. Now here's what porn shows, that this is what women want. Ride me hard, big dick guy. Hammer it in all the way. That's how it goes, right? But again, porn is fantasy, and it creates a strong sense of inadequacy if we're comparing our penis size. Obviously, if he's got a 10-inch penis, he's much more of an acceptable human being than I am with an average penis. But what I'm saying is problems with large penises are real. Here's another category. It's especially real with anus sex. Anal. I just said anus sex. I guess that works. Anal sex. And so it seems like so many guys fantasize about anal sex with their woman, but they don't realize that men with large penises can cause horrible damage to the rectum as well. This is what nobody talks about. This is where the poop is, and it's not clean, and you have to take extreme care to make it clean. And it's so not okay to penetrate the vagina after penetrating the anus. You will cause horrible infections if you transfer feces into the vagina. Nobody tells you the stuff because it's all fake and it's phony. And it's made to look really cool. Anal sex, oh my gosh, it's really cool. But it's not so cool. So, men with a good average old penis, you don't have to worry about causing pain or damage since the penis-cervix ratio is perfect. It's just fine. Size does matter, and it's the average size that's actually the best. Imagine that. Why would God or evolution or whatever make most men's penises perfect to fit in the cervix to where they don't smack into the cervix all the time and create pain? It's awesome. Now, since nobody's talking about this, you can say that you heard it here first. I like that idea. So, let's see. Also, porn is voyeurism. So, voyeurism is a fancy word for the peeping Tom. It's the guy who just looks or watches. He doesn't do. He's a cuckold, watching the action, but too fearful to be in the action. He just watches, and that's no way to experience life. So porn lies to you about how real women do sex, how they want sex and desire sex. It lies to you about size matters, because size does matter. Like I said, average is perfect. So the next one, porn is a lie about our relationship with women. With porn, we use women to resolve our inner conflicts. A woman is something to be used to get something you need. Instead of being a person to relate to care for, or who has their own story, we use them to make ourselves feel better or give us validation. Once we see them as an object to be used, we lose the human connection. And then sex has lost what it's been designed for. Connection, oneness, intimacy. Sex is the great connector. Porn is the great disconnector. With porn, her pleasure is your measure. What that means is that if she has pleasure, you're good enough. If she doesn't have pleasure, you're not good enough. It measures your value. We must then make sure she has pleasure or has an orgasm. If she doesn't, we've failed. We must bring her to an orgasm every time. If not, we fail. And then, because my identity is attached to it, I am a failure. And my identity is shot. That's a hell of a lot of pressure to put on her. And a lot of pressure for anyone during sex is a problem. She has to make sure you don't feel like a failure during sex. So this is where women, even with a woman with a strong moral compass, finds themselves faking orgasm. Just let's get done with all this. And then make you feel good about yourself. So the truth about this is that each person is responsible for their own orgasm. This is interesting. Each person is responsible for their own orgasm. Another thing that's really unpleasant for a lot of people to hear, but it's really important that each person is responsible. So she needs, this is how a woman would be responsible. She needs to teach you about her body. You, or every man in the world, we have no idea what it's like to have vestibular bulbs or a clitoris. Did you even know what a vestibular bulb is? You need to find out if you want to. She probably doesn't even know that she has vestibular bulbs. They're the things that get kind of spongy on the side of her vagina, about the sides of her lips, her labia, and they get spongy and big and swell up a little bit when a woman's very aroused. It's the part of her that this is why grinding or rubbing on something feels so good, or dry humping and pushing. It feels really good to a woman because those vestibular bulbs are becoming aroused. We have no idea what it feels like because we don't have those. And so how we interact with a woman's body, we don't know. Because for us, it's just, okay, grab my dick and make stuff happen. But that's not the way it works for women. You need to do this slowly or how she wants it. So it's very different for women. I do also have a podcast on sex stuff for more on that category. So listen to that if you want to hear more on that. So the truth is, many, if not most, women can experience a very fulfilling sexual experience even without orgasm. They don't need it every time. They still will enjoy it, and some will enjoy it more than others. But often, the experience of you enjoying their bodies for your pleasure is very fulfilling to them. It sounds different, because for guys, it feels like, I gotta have an orgasm. For women, it's different. And so know you're guilty. So whether you know it or not, you carry yourself with a certain posture of guilt. Your head may be slightly lower, your eyes avert a little too soon in a conversation. Whatever that posture looks like, those micro expressions are picked up by intuition. And so when you're guilty of looking at porn, she'll treat you as guilty. And this is not pretty. But you are making it happen. As well, because you feel guilty, you don't stand up for yourself or hold her accountable for her bad behavior, almost like you deserve it. So you walk on eggshells to try to make her happy. You've lost your strength and honor. Setting boundaries or any other healthy conflict will not happen since you cannot stand up for yourself. Now that you can't stand up for yourself, what you want and need, the cycle just keeps going down deeper into a negative spiral. And since you won't say what you need, you'll keep seeking it elsewhere in your attempt to get something, even if it's the fake and destructive porn. So that whole thing of feeling guilty, we hide it, and they know it because their intuition knows it. So porn lies to you about real life, about real women, about real relationships, but it does reveal to you how you really do need to have a strong sense of self. Next, let's just talk a little bit about sexuality. So my sexuality is a powerful and positive internal resource, probably one of the most profound resources that you have. Sexuality is designed to be released and not restrained. We've been told that sex is bad, it's to be avoided. However, if you do restrain it and push it down, the energy eventually erupts and leaks out without discipline or intention. Our sexuality is another beautiful part of our physical being. So awareness of sexual cues like arousal, interest, or desire is important so that you can follow the guidance of your physical being to get the life that you want. It's part of our strength, since it encompasses so many parts of our being, our body, desire, emotion, love, procreation, and our spirit. Sexuality has historically been a point of contention for many people, as though it is wild and out of control. It's true that many people without much integrity or self-control experience folly in this area of life, but that doesn't mean that our sexuality is to be avoided or to be seen as sinful. Many traditions focus on restraining sexuality, and since sexuality is a very valuable part of you, it's usually relegated to the basement. But it can't be put down there. It's a prime aspect of your body. Releasing sexuality doesn't mean just to let it rip without consideration of wisdom or without your moral compass. It's allowing it a position at the table with the rest of your good internal resources. Our sex drive is a powerful part of our strength. It needs to be under the influence of wisdom, for sure, but it needs to be set free at times as well. It's, like I said, one of your most valuable assets. Sexuality is the great connector. Sexuality guides people into human connection and intimacy like nothing else. Since connection and closeness is a primary human need, sexuality provides that beautifully. Sexuality creates connection and is life-giving in so many ways. Our sexuality is a place of vulnerability where we can trust and allow ourselves to be seen. Being naked with someone else opens us up to the most profound vulnerable experiences of life. Yeah, it's being physically seen and physically naked, but our sexuality allows our full self to be revealed and seen. Often this feels very awkward and clumsy, but it is the path to intimacy. It's one of the greatest avenues of legacy in our lives as well. Sex is very much about procreation and continuing the species. Our children are a significant way that we can leave our mark on the world. To fully embrace ourselves, we must embrace our sexuality. In order to live full, free lives, we will need to discover the depth of our physical being and listen for the cues the body is constantly sending. Sexuality can be difficult, a difficult aspect for life for many people with abusive or difficult experiences. And there may be people who experience sexual struggles, like I said, called sexual addiction. And that's where shame thrives. This is all true, but it in no way diminishes the value and depth that our sexuality has been designed to bring to our lives. To fully embrace ourselves, we must fully embrace our sexuality. And for many men, sexuality is a significant place of shame. And because of this, some men pray diligently that God would take it away from them. It's as though sexuality is some kind of parasite that sucks your life away, keeps you locked into sinful behavior. This belief is tough to beat. But as you begin to embrace your sexuality as good, you will begin to experience the greatness for what it has been intended. And so often the belief that something about our sexuality is dirty, broken, perverted, or maybe just improper comes from Platonic dualism. So Platonic dualism is the idea that there's two planes or levels in life. The higher plane or level is honorable and has to do with higher principles like spirituality or the intellect. The lower or base level has less honor and has to do with physical, sexual, natural, or bodily functions. I know you've heard this. People in a very proud fashion will say something like, "Our relationship is platonic." That means the relationship is on a higher level, not physical. They're not engaging in things like disgusting sexual things. Platonic dualism is in all parts of Western thought. Our schools, how we learn, church, how we engage in our faith, and how we do relationships. We live in this world of dualism, and it's often why we're ashamed that we have a sexual desire or are sexual beings, especially in the way that men have a drive and sex is often on our minds or in the mix of life somehow. We can't escape being sexual. It's right there in our face continually. Therefore, if we don't challenge Platonic dualism, who says sex is lower and bad, then our shame of being inherently disgusting is in our face continually. So what does it look like to challenge Platonic dualism? First, call it out. There it is, and it's been an influence in our culture for millennia. Now it's your turn. Second, call bullshit. It's not true that there's a higher and lower part of us. All of you is good and valuable. Third, do all you can to integrate and respect every part of you. This is what integration is. You're in good working order, and if all of you is integrated, you will do well in every arena of life. You cannot just take one part and throw it off to the basement. It doesn't work like that. So, another category is your sex drive is one of the best parts of you if you allow wisdom to direct it. Porn debases the sacred nature of sex. The way that sex is expressed, why it's done, how it's done, and the reason people engage in it is all done from the world that considers sex to be lower or dark. So they replicate that image. It's rebellious or something from the dark underbelly of life. Then it becomes intriguing or attracted to those who think they belong to that world, or they feel rebellious. So if you live in the shame that you're a piece of shit, or something inherently is wrong with you, you have believed you belong to that world, to the dark world. But in reality, and you got to hear this from me, sex is not dark. Our sexuality is a beautiful expression of life. Maybe the most beautiful expression of light and life. Sex is designed to be a creator of new life, of intimacy and connection, and of course, pleasure and physical enjoyment of another person. It's skin-on-skin connection. It's openness of your true vulnerable self. It's a beautiful expression of oneness, unity, and love. And that's why sex is on the front lines of the battle. Because sex creates, because sex is connection, because sex is designed to reflect the glory of God. On that, see John 17. Because sex creates oneness and unity, because it's godly behavior, you know, it's what God, this is what God says love is. Since God is love and he is at his core a relational trinity, sex kind of reflects that. Sex is godly and is beautiful when it's carried out with maturity. That's why porn is designed to make sex less, to destroy the design of sex, to make something beautiful ugly, to make something godly profane, to make something into nothing, and to take you down with it because you are a sexual being. There is so much at stake. Your identity, your thumos, your soul, your life, your relationships. So reject the grooming and narrative about sex that are communicated in our culture and create a beautiful corner of your world with your sexuality. Begin to see your sexuality as it really is and what it's been designed for. So how do I break free from porn? First category, and people always try to do this, it's the white knuckling. Don't look at porn, don't look at porn, don't look at porn. But our minds don't work like that. Our minds don't see the negative part of that statement. So when you say, don't look at porn, don't look at porn, all your mind hears is, look at porn, look at porn, look at porn. There have been tons of studies on this. This is how our brains work. If we can believe, well, if we can believe any studies, but still, the way the mind works does not fix this type of fix. So white knuckling is a classic epic fail. Everybody tries it. Everybody keeps recycling it, and it never works. Another category is accountability, like covenant eyes or just classic stuff doesn't work. Being in a group that meets weekly to tell each other if you did something or not, that holds for a bit, but you've not changed the core issue, so it still continues. So one thing that does work about accountability is that shame doesn't do well in the light. So letting others know that you're struggling with something is a great move. So get it out in the light, throw it out on the table. It's been likened to the petri dish of mold. If it sits in a dark corner somewhere, it grows. But when you get it into the light, it shrivels up and dies. So get your story out there, let others know, not to hold you accountable, but to start eliminating shame. That it's a habit is another category. Habits are really tough to break. And I don't know enough about habits, but this is part of breaking free. So look into habits as well, but it comes later after you deal with your identity, because identity is at the core. Shame is at the very center of the struggle, not sex. This whole struggle that I don't have a strong sense of self, and I'm looking for someone else, preferably a hot, naked, available woman, to validate my weak sense of self-worth. You've been smoking the validation crack pipe. Take time to reinforce your identity. Then the need for external validation will diminish. And with it, porn diminishes as well, because it doesn't have a job to do, which was giving you external validation. So ask the question, what does porn provide for you? What does your experience with porn provide? What does it do Is it escaping? Numbing? External validation? Is it just a habit to deal with boredom, deal with stress, or anything else? Is it a release of sexual pleasure? Is it a dopamine dump? Or something deeper? Take time to think about and get a glimpse of what it is. So understanding what you're doing is important here. Let's see. I'm using another human being to resolve my inner conflicts. Or my main inner conflict is my sense of self. I lack identity, or I believe that something's wrong with me. Or I'm doing this to resolve the inner conflict internally as the true issue. The true issue is not look at porn or restrain my sexuality, but to rediscover who I really am and to find my true identity. So once you find your true identity, you have a diminished need to resolve that internal conflict through someone else, whether that is through porn or any woman, any accomplishment or approval for that matter. Then you can say something like, "Porn, you've been my friend for so long, it's been a good run, but I don't need you anymore." You can begin to see that your sexuality is not perverted or shameful. See it for what it really is, beautiful and strong. It's godly. He actually created it. Shift your perspective to see you're on the light side, not the dark side, when you desire sex. Do a moratorium. Take a break and pay attention to what you feel and what it feels like to stay in those tough feelings or whatever it is that you're trying to avoid. Identify those, since it's probably what you're trying to escape or numb. Sometimes just giving it a minute, instead of moving into it, to sit in the emptiness or delayed gratification of it. When you feel the pull, postpone. I can do this later. Check in with yourself. Invite God in. That's one of the lots of the guys have tough time with. Show God the video. Tell him about what you're looking for. See this? I'm looking for the video with a very athletic or curvy or young woman who's doing this and that. It's not like he doesn't see or know what you're doing anyway, so invite him in to see it. See how that works. Lean into the feeling or experience. You've numbed or escaped so long. Just stay with the sadness, feeling unworthy, anger, whatever it is. Sit in it for a moment before you say something like, "I really feel deflated right now," or whatever it is. Then breathe and hold that space for a minute. You'll be okay with whatever you feel. You don't have to run away from it. You're gonna be fine. Sequence it. Consider what it is you've been experiencing the days, hours beforehand, before you got the pull. Maybe you've been feeling stressed or criticized or thwarted. You may have been betrayed or rejected, or you may just feel confused or a little lost. Whatever it is, when you feel the pull, it is something. Trust me, it's always something. Something's at the center of it is. So take a second and sequence it back. What's it been? It's all based on very unrealistic expectations. Like women are horny and will do whatever I want. Just remember, all that stuff is just not true. So with porn, we think there's no consequence. This is just me. No one is harmed. But how this plays out is this. Your thumos and your passion for life is drained. Trust is diminished in your relationships. And internal shame explodes. There are consequences for all arenas in life, not just you and your significant other. So the big part of this is rebuild your identity. Build internally referenced validation. Build a solid sense of self based on the realities of who you really are and how you are good enough. Yeah, you have inadequacies and you're not perfect, but you are okay. Untangle sex from your identity. For years, your sexuality has been intertwined with your identity. Sex has been the factor that provided validation or personal value since a woman made you feel worthy. Now build your sense of self separate from sex. Guess what? Then sex will be sex just for what it is. Just really cool way to connect and a really pleasurable experience. But it's not about my identity anymore. Then I can actually learn about sex. That is where the real work to defeat any link that you have with porn is, you will need to solidify your identity. This is where true victory is found. So my final word on this is to build your solid identity based on internal realities about who you really are. I hope this has been helpful. I know it's a lot of stuff. If there's anything you ever have questions about, please let me know. But for now, stay solid, my friends.